accession number 27268, Mr. Dennis Reed, reel 9. Now, you spent 3 leaves in all with your auntie, because you were there for 13 months while this deck was being done.
It was about 3 leaves I spent with her, yeah.
Now, what else was happening? Because, I mean, you know, it's a long time to be in Philadelphia.
Well, it was a long time doing the repairs to the ship. So we were just care and maintenance party. Obviously, there was no action stations or nothing of that nature.
Tell us what care and maintenance party would do. Well, what were your duties?
As the name implies, care and maintenance. Care, you was looking after the cleanliness of the ship, the running of the ship. Maintenance, that was like your living day by day, care and maintenance. Or CNM, as it's known as, obviously. But apart from that, it was just a case of working around the guns, keeping them clean, making sure the barracks was clean, watchkeeping, which I have described, basically, the watchkeeping, and going ashore and having a good time.
Now, tell us about that, a bit more about going ashore. What was life like? What were the recreations supplied for you when you went ashore? We haven't really done...
Well, there was no recreation as such that we enjoyed in Cape Town or Durban, South Africa. You made your own enjoyment, amusement, and then after such a while, you obviously got to know the local people. I got to know a very, very nice family. And that is where I spent the majority of my time.
Well, tell us about this family. I mean, how did you get to know them and what were they like?
Well, having met the family, I met one of the daughters there in one of the local restaurants. I was ashore there with a couple of oppos. We met these girls and then got chatting and what have you. Nothing sexual about it whatsoever, and they invited us home to meet their parents, and it went from there. I mean, their parents were very hospitable. We spent the time there mainly of an evening, enjoying talking, the television, a couple of times we went out horseback riding. It was just a general enjoyable time. We went to the local places. I mean, obviously, we saw the Liberty Bell. And a big thing that does stick in my mind was there was quite a big parade, an indoor parade, of the United Nations, all the nations that were participating in the war. And we had to provide the colours and an escort, which is the standard flag with an escort. I was chosen as one of the escorts on account of my height, believe it or not. The two of us were just 6 foot and a bit, which was quite an impressive sight when you had the standard. The most surprising thing of all was there was a flag and the colour and the escort of all the nations. I don't know how many there were. There was quite a few nations that participated in the war. And they all had the standard bearer and the escort, but not one of them was a serving personnel. They were all students from the Pennsylvania University. And we were the only active servicemen there. At first they thought we were students, but they were soon put in the picture. And then there was one of the film stars of that day. Going from memory, I think her name was Lynn Barry. I think it was, anyway. She came over and had a chat and all that business. The most memorial thing of all was they played their national anthems and tunes, but then the most proudest moment of my life at that moment was They didn't play God Save the King or Queen, King in those days, I'll agree. They played Land of Hope and Glory. And what we done, we were the only ones to do it because the others, they didn't know what to do. We dipped our colour. You know, when you dip it, you lower the flag or the standard. And that got a very, very tremendous reception. After that, they didn't want to know you. The other memorial thing was, in my mind, I'm a great believer in the US Marines. I admire them for what they are. Not quite as good as us, but I do admire them. And apparently one night, our officers, there were three British naval ships there, and I can't think who the other two were. Anyway, that's beside the point. They met up in the officers' mess of the US Marines. And as you probably know, there's great rivalry between the Royal Marines and the US Marines. And it appears, I wasn't there, so I don't know, but it appears that after a few jugs, or a gin and tonics as they drink, I believe, one said, "We are far better than you." The other reciprocated and said, "That's a load of rubbish. We can beat you anywhere." It finished up that our officers invited the US Marines to a drill display on their parade ground. When they came aboard the next day, the officers, they formed the detachment up on the quarterdeck, and they told us what they had done. Well, the reception was outstanding. 110% agreement. And what they done, they had the whole of our detachment, bearing in mind there was no gun crews to close out. There was a cruiser. I don't know. They had the Marines aboard them, and we had quite a large detachment. Unfortunately, the US Marines, in their wisdom, they didn't seem fit to offer us the facility of rehearsing on their parade ground. Our rehearsing had to be done on the quarterdeck. Anyway, I mean, I won't go into such a long story, but we went ashore on the night, went ashore there. There was the US band there, US Marines band. They played a couple of tunes. And then our detachment came on. Well, I have never seen such a wonderful, disciplined, outstanding display of arms drill and marching. Because bear in mind, as you obviously know, their arms drill is different to ours. Not one of our boys put a foot wrong. They were absolutely perfect. They got a tremendous reception from the crowd. And at the end of it, we marched off.
Now, were you in this party or not? I'm not quite sure.
Oh, yes.
You were in the competition.
Oh, yes, I was in the party, right enough. And, in fact, there was the only Marines aboard our ship that wasn't in the party was those on sick. I don't know how many were there. I wouldn't even guess. But the US Marines did form a guard of honour. And they admitted we were, to quote their words, slightly better. To quote the official version was, well, if I can use the words that they use, we licked their asses. That was their words. And we did. I will say we did parade there in our blues, the rifles and bayonets, and our pith helmets. And as a matter of interest, we had to get special permission to take our rifles ashore. Whether they feared that we were going to attack the Philadelphia, I don't know, but we had to get permission. After that, it was just a run of the mill. One of our corporals, he had a very, very, what shall I say, he had a duty to do. There was a naval, I'll put it, absent without leave. Technically, he was a deserter. And he lived right in the middle of Texas. He had been apprehended by the local sheriff. He was in their prison office, or whatever you can jail, and they had requested an escort to accompany back to Philadelphia. He had came off the Resolution, which is the same class of ship as the Royal Sovereign. Anyway, unfortunately, I wasn't on that escort. Another corporal done it. And they went, they had all their warrants, and they went down to Texas by rail. They went there, picked him up, and the chap there, he was a stoker off the Resolution. He turned round to the corporal and he said, "Look, I'll be quite honest with you." He said, "I've got a wallet full of money. I will not cause you any trouble. I will go back to the ship and take what I've got coming. Outside my where I was staying in the hotel is a car." He said, "What we'll do, we'll come back by car and we'll spend the money on the way up." The corporal, like a anyway, the corporal declined it. He said, "No," he said, "I got a railway warrant, we'll use the warrant." So they came back on the train, and what happened to him I don't know. All I know is he went back to the UK, not by us. But he came back to the UK. What happened to him, I don't know. But that corporal, what he missed up there, he done his job. He wasn't allowed to come back by private car, but he done his job. I did have a couple of little escorts to do, but they were local ones.
What were they like? You were escorting prisoners?
Well, if you call, yeah, they were technically prisoners. All they were a couple of Matlows, one at a time. I had to go with an escort, pick them up at the local office, a sheriff's office, and all they were, one I do recall for being drunk, well and truly drunk, and the other one, he, in his wisdom, he invited the whole of the US Navy outside. They were in a pub somewhere. He was drunk and he was just threatening all the local. They were nothing to write home about, you know.
Did you have any trouble with some of the regular US sailors and US Marines, in fact, didn't like the British, according to some people. Did you have any trouble with fighting between sailors and American sailors, or American regulars, it was supposed to be, rather than the...
We did have one occasion. As I say, we did have one occasion. There was a naval rating from our ship walking through the dockyard, and he got set on about with about three or four Yankee sailors. He got set on, and he was only a little bloke. Fortunately, he finished up in the sick bay, as a matter of interest. This is the only serious trouble we had. He managed to identify the four sailors, and they in turn, when they were in the dockyard during the night time, they met some of our ship's company sailors. And there was one terrific hell to do there. We were not involved as Marines. We, from our ship, we had no trouble physically. Verbal, yes, we had verbal trouble. But there is a distinct liking of the two US Marines and the Royal Marines. It's the same as I think I told you about Al Matlow's. They criticise a Royal Marine left, right and centre, but if there's any trouble, they're the people you can rely on. It's the same with the US Marines. I mean, we get on very well with them, very well indeed. Apart from that, we did do a couple of little exercises.
Tell us about them. What sort of things?
Bob?
What sort of exercises? Tell us about them.
We did do a couple of exercises ashore up in the Blue Ridge Mountains, I think they were. Nothing as serious. It was only a case of giving us something to do to relieve the boredom, the monotony. The only thing we learnt was that you don't interfere with the rattlesnake, because we did find a nest of rattlesnakes, but no trouble.
What sort of exercise? I mean, what were you actually doing up there?
Nothing at all, really. Just a case of a little bit of hill climbing. As I said, it was to keep us out of the way, to give us exercise.
So it wasn't a tactical exercise?
Oh, no. It was just a case of going for an afternoon walk. Something like that. I mean, we had transport to take us there, because we couldn't march through the city of Philadelphia. They wouldn't allow that. But as I say, apart from that, nothing untoward happened at all. It was just day after day, week after week, until they finally said, right, we're going home.
What were the pubs like?
The pubs?
Yeah, or the bars, I think they call them. Did you go out drinking much?
Oh, yeah, we went out and had a few wets. Oh, yeah, we went out drinking.
How did the bars, American bars, compare with, say, a British pub?
Cleanliness, a damn sight cleaner. Service, a damn sight better. In other words, I don't think you can compare them. The beer was not like ours at all. I used to drink a light ale. If I could have got bottles of rum ashore, I could have sold them and made myself a fortune, because one of our people that went ashore had a hip flask full of our rum, which happened to be neat. And in one of the pubs, Leglon Lounge, it was known as Leglon Lounge, and he gave the bartender or the proprietor, publican, I don't know, behind the bar, he gave him a tot. And the chap said, I'll buy as much of that as you can get me. He couldn't get him any, because it was rather difficult to get it. But he did ask for more. Well, bring me another tot tomorrow. And then what he done, we gave him a tot, and he gave us, reciprocated, he gave us over-the-counter a beer. Fair enough. I would sum it up and say that they were very, very friendly. I never saw any trouble whatsoever ashore. The people we met, as soon as they knew who we were, because bear in mind, I mean, they've never seen a Royal Marine in all their life. As soon as they realised who they were, you know, who we were, they then compared us to the US Marines. And, I mean, you would know, the US Marines are really admired in America. They can do nothing wrong. And that applied to us as well, you know. So, really, basically, that is the story of going ashore, you know, until we were told we were coming home.
Now, what happened when you came to leave Philadelphia?
Well, as I said, prior to leaving, we took a reasonable number of passengers on board. I would say 20-ish, 25 children. The children happened to be evacuees from the United Kingdom, England, to America at the outbreak of war. We brought them home. Briefly speaking, they were given the run of the ship. They slept and lived adjacent to the Royal Marines barracks and the officers' quarters. Funny enough, quite a lot of the Marines aboard there more or less adopted one of the children, in imagination, of course, looked after them, took them around the ship, and the time it took to get from Philly to Greenock, we looked after them. There was an article, as a matter of interest, in one of our national papers about 2 if not 3 months ago. And it did quite a big article about these kids that had come back to England after America. They mentioned the Royal Sovereign. They mentioned that they were looked after well and truly by the Marines aboard the ship. And the sailors, I mean, looked after them as well. We gave them like a conducted tour of the guns. Well, everything that would interest kids, both boys and girls. They ate. We gave them their own mess. They ate there. So by and large, they became ship's company, put it that way. And they were sorry to go when we arrived in Scotland, and we were sorry to see them go. The other time was when we turned the ship over to the Russians.
So when you got back, was that the next thing you did? Straight away, you turned it over to the Russians?
Well, when you say straight away, it was in the foreseeable future after we arrived back. We turned the ship over.
Well, tell us the whole story of that then. I mean, where did you have to go to?
Well, they came to us. We were at sea. They came aboard. I don't know how many there were. I don't even profess to know how many there were. But for every member of our ship's company, I don't mean everyone, bear in mind we were still care and maintenance party, there was the equivalent of the Russians. I met one Russian there. He couldn't speak a word of English, and I couldn't speak a word of Russian, and he came aboard as corporal of the gangway. The sentries had their own counterparts. Things I remember vividly was their cigarette smoke, it smelt terrible. They were very, very conscientious. What I'm saying, bearing in mind, we did put to sea again to let them enjoy the joys of sailing along the boat. Now, during the night watches, that would be the first of morning and the middle, first morning and the middle. If the weather was dodgy, we used to go into the corridor, as we called it, the corridor. You were sheltered there. And then about an hour or so into the watch, one of the sentries or the party would go to the galley and make a fanny a kai, cocoa in other words. Then it used to be my job. I used to then take the fanny round to the various sentries, sailors or marines, and then we would then invite the Russians. They would not step inside that corridor because his job was out, say, on the quarter deck, and that's where he stood. I think it was fear of their officers that done it. But they wouldn't come in. At first, they wouldn't come in. Then I think after a while, bearing in mind this went on for a little while, after a while, they either got used to the smell of the cocoa or kai. They got fed up with being cold and wet outside. The common sense told them it is a darn sight better inside. Now I can tell you, I've never seen a sight like this before. When we finally turned it over to the Russians, I was corporal of the guard, and then there was quite a little ceremony on the quarterdeck. They hauled down the ensign, and they hauled up the Russian flag, the sickle, isn't it? Anyway, they hauled that up. From that moment onwards, she was then USSR Archangel. No longer the Royal Sovereign, no longer the property of the Royal Navy. And at that time, I didn't know, but I found out that the Russians do not have rum aboard their ship. They're dry. They turned the rum store out, and as far as we knew, it was going to go over the side. As far as we knew. So they made it an open rum barrel. As much as you wanted, you had. Now, we were then told, if you don't mind, get off the ship. We were given, I don't know the actual time, but we were given a period of time to get off the ship. Now, can you imagine a crowd of Royal Marines and a crowd of English sailors coming off the ship, walking down the jetty out of the dockyard? I would say 50% drunk or inebriated or under the weather, but they weren't sober. It was a very, very good sight when you saw that. Never been seen before. But there was no trouble whatsoever. No trouble. There was no police there, no military police, no naval police. They just said, "We'll have a good time," you know, and we came home.
And that you left the ship in May 1944. I've already noted that down from your
part. Well, if that is the date, fair enough, that is it.
Now, then you seem to have spent a long time in Chatham Barracks. Is that correct?
Yes, I was saying that we then got on the local train, which took us, King's Cross, I think, I don't know. I finished out at Chatham. And then I've even forgotten, to my regret, I've even forgotten when they closed Chatham Barracks down. I think it was the late 40s into the 50s, they shut Chatham Barracks down. That is when I was allocated. I went to Pompey, Portsmouth.
Now, hang on, we're running ahead a bit there because we're in 1944 at the moment still.
Yeah.
So what happened when you got to Chatham Barracks? What were you doing?
What was I doing? That's a very difficult question to answer. What I was doing, I was enjoying some leave for a start. Apart from that, it was just general duties.
So what were general duties when you were in barracks?
Well, to put it crudely, keeping out the way. Being a corporal. I had duties to do as a corporal. Mainly, I was doing what was known as a rear rank instructor.
Now, what does that mean?
Well, a rear rank instructor means you was instructing on parade. Rear rank meant that you was not the official instructor. You just helped him out if you had a new squad, and you was and the instructor was teaching them how to slope arms. Well, then the rear rank instructor would go around and correct the positions. That's all. It was mainly a job to occupy, well, to make you occupied. That's all. Nothing important.